Good morning again. John, is that all right? Do I have the right switch pulled? And are we okay for sound? Wonderful. Good. Good. But you open your Bibles again, please. And this time, let's look in the New Testament to the book of 1 Corinthians, please. Chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. And this morning, we gave a little intro into this topic, which, of course, we'll barely scraped the surface of. In fact, my wife Mary Beth reminded me that there was a workers' elders conference a few years ago, and they actually had the topic, I think, of the mysteries of God in the Bible, in the Word of God. They made a whole conference week out of it, so we're barely going to scrape the surface. But again, we just, by way of introduction, talked about the word mystery is found 28 times in our Bible at least. And a mystery is, of course, a hidden truth, a concealed truth, and now it's been revealed. We talked a little bit this morning about Daniel and the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar and the fact that God revealed the mystery of that dream to him. And because of that, as a result of that, we noticed at least three things in the life of Daniel that were produced from that. And by way of practical application, because we want to look at this word mystery today, and we want to look at the practical application of it in our life, though. And so what was the practical application for Daniel? At least three things, many more, of course. But the three we noticed this morning was that Daniel became a bright, shining light for God. There were other gods in those days, but Daniel's God, our God, is the God above all gods. And Daniel was a bright, shining light for God. And Daniel's life brought praise to God. And, of course, we want our lives to bring praise to God too. And then Daniel's life brought glory to God. We read that in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 47 together. So a bright shining light, a praise, and a glory are at least three aspects of what could result from a mystery revealed. So we'll look at those in terms of the God's wisdom is a mystery, and we're going to explore that one today, and we'll see how time goes. Maybe we'll look at another one or two as the Lord would lead us. So we're found now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to read together. Our God has chosen to reveal some of the great hidden truths to his people. And so in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, we're going to read the whole chapter together, so let's do that. God's wisdom is a mystery, and so the question I would ask you this morning as we read this, and I would ask my heart too, is this. Can we know the mind of God? Can we know the mind of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reading at verse 1. And when I came to you, brethren, Paul writes, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. Now, the word testimony there, let's just stop for a brief moment, because in the earlier manuscripts, that word testimony reads, I'm waiting. Another word for testimony is? Guess, just guess. Today's topic. Mystery. Okay, mystery. All right. So let's read the verse again, inserting the word mystery there, because in the earlier manuscripts, it actually reads that way. So Paul's saying, when I came to you, brother, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Boy, if you could put anything over Paul's life, wouldn't that be the theme of Paul's life, huh? To know Christ. I was with you, Paul writes, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, praise God, but on the power of God. You know, the foundation, brothers and sisters, of our faith rests upon what? The power of God, doesn't it? Yet, Paul continues in verse 6 as he starts a new section here, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom However, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but look at verse 7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. In a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. Now, over verse 9 in my Bible, I'm reading from, by the way, the New American Standard Bible. And so above verse 9 in my Bible, it reads this little note. It says, spiritual verities are not of human wisdom, but revealed by God. So then, mysteries are not of human wisdom, as we learn from Daniel, but they're revealed by God. Verse 9 says, things which eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them. How, brothers and sisters? That's a question. I'm going to ask questions today, so to see that you're on track with me. How did God reveal them? Through the Spirit. Together, so I can hear you. The Spirit. For God has revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even, listen, even the depths of God. And I inserted there, appropriately, I believe, the deep things of God. The deep things of God. See? And we'll come back to that in a couple minutes. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, listen, even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, thank you, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And that because, brothers and sisters, we are human beings having a spiritual experience. We are human beings having a spiritual experience. And what I mean by that is that we have been born again into the family of God. And so we're born from above. That's what born again means. So we're spiritual. We're human beings, but we're having a spiritual experience. Our life, our journey is a spiritual one, is it not? Yes, we're in flesh and blood, but we're spiritually having an experience with God because of our new birth. Jesus, on the other hand, was a spiritual being. He is and was and always will be God, having a human experience. Our brother led us in worship this morning and brought us to John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word. Was that not the passage you read to us this morning? And so the one who is spiritual and is a spirit, it is our God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, had a human experience. But we are humans having a spiritual experience. I hope you understand that. So, verse 14 says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises, or another word for that, brothers and sisters, is judges. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no one. For who has known, here's the question, who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? Now, in my Bible, it reads this way, and many of you have King James. Would you raise your hand if you have a King James Bible? Okay, one or two. What other versions? Do you have the New American Standard, some of you? All right. So in my Bible, it reads this way, the last part of verse 16. This is key. This is the meat of the matter here. Paul writes, but we have the mind of Christ. Is that the way your Bible reads? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Holy Father, thank you for allowing us the privilege of speaking from its pages today. And Father, as we explore the mystery of God, of you, our God, and we see from Scripture how it's been revealed to us, help us, Father, we pray. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own, that we might, as Daniel did, we might be bright lights, and we might be a people of praise, and that we might bring glory to you now that we know and we glimpse at these wonderful mysteries that were hidden from ages past that you have chosen to reveal to us. Thank you for Jesus. In his name, amen. So we see some things in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 here of God's wisdom being a mystery. And, we can know spiritually, we can know spiritually things that were hidden in the past because of what Christ wants to reveal to us. Truths that are for our minds first. The Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God to our minds, right, first, and then for our hearts. And how precious is this treasure to you and I? That's the question I would ask my heart, and I would ask your heart today too. We made illustration, perhaps poor though it might be, of Indiana Jones searching for his treasures and the lost grail or whatever he was looking for in the different movies that we would see him in. And he would look for this treasure. Well, I'm going to come back to that in a second because I like visual things. I'm a visual person. But I would ask, how precious is this treasure that we're reading about now? The treasure of knowing the mysteries of God, the truths of God. That's what the treasure is the truths of God, the spiritual things. And they have been revealed to us. And they are revealed to us as we commune with God. Look at verse number 11 again. It says in my Bible in verse number 11 in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 that Paul is writing, he said, "And who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man who is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." But now verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." We can know the mysteries of God. We can know the truths of God. You know, we may not fully understand them all. Let's be honest. You know, we read the Word of God, and oftentimes, even through the Holy Spirit, we grasp just a little of the truths of God. We would want to know the deeper things of God. We don't understand them all. We are finite beings. God is infinite. We're trying to understand the infinite. But, dearly beloved, we are part of the family of God. And verse 16 says what? At the end of the verse, what does it say? We can have what? Brothers and sisters, tell me. That we can have the mind of Christ. We can have the mind of Christ. That's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing that we can have the mind of Christ. Keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians, and would you flip over to Philippians, please? Philippians, the book of Philippians. Excuse me. Philippians chapter number 2. Let me catch up to you here. I'm a little bit behind. I have a sip of water. Philippians chapter 2. And just for sake of connection, quickly, let's read verse 1. The verse where I want to bring your attention to is verse 5, but let's bring us there through verse 1 for connection. Paul writing again here says, "Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind," unity, "maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent in one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than ourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Listen now. Have this mind, correct. My Bible reads, have this attitude, but I like the way the King James reads, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus. He's instructing us that the mind of Christ can be in us. That's part of this. Am I pursuing the deeper truths of God? So when I read this, it made me think, well, that's an exhortation to my heart. Am I looking, and if you'll flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and this verse that we read just before verse 11 is verse 10, to us, God revealed these things through the Spirit, and what are they? They're the depths of God, or I like the word deep things of God, the deep things of God. That's what part of the mystery is. It's the secret things, the hidden things. And you know, to go back to Indiana Jones, he wouldn't learn that from his classroom in the college where he taught archaeology. He had to go into the field and through the deserts and climb the mountains and into the caves. And he had to get into the thing to find whatever treasure it was he was looking for. Or any other archaeologist for that matter. I'm just using him as an illustration. And so it is with us. We need to get into the deeper things of God. We were blessed to have Dwight Knight with us this weekend. If you don't know Dwight, he and Stephanie are from Detroit, and Dwight is head of Challenge Ministries. One of the things that Dwight does is writes books, and one of the books I'm reading by Dwight now is like a daily devotion book, and it challenges my heart. He asked me last night after the meeting we had at Cheshire Bible Chapel, and he was in our home for the night with Stephanie, and I said, I'm doing all right in your book. I'm a few days behind. How are you doing on the monthly challenge? Well, some of his monthly challenges, to my wife's point, you need a whole day to do one of them. But that's what Dwight's trying to do. He's trying to get us to go into the deeper things of God. You know, name all the kings in the Old Testament. That's your monthly challenge for week number one, you know. So anyway, but that's what God wants, to reveal these mysteries to us. And so the hidden truths of God are there for us in the pages of God's Word, and we need but just delve in into these deep things. So God's wisdom is a mystery, but this mystery is revealed to us because Paul says we can know and we can have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And remember that the foundation of our faith, look in verse 5 again, rests upon the power of God in our lives. So we're not looking at this from an intelligent standpoint, because with our intelligence we can't understand very little, I think. But if we're looking at it from a spiritual aspect, that the deep things of God are something that the Spirit of God reveals to our hearts and our minds. And so we can know God's wisdom as a mystery, and we can pursue it. So how are we doing on that? Then I'd like to look at briefly for a few minutes with you the mystery of Christ in the church. Would you turn please to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, just a few pages over in your Bible, and look at the third chapter of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 3. And here we'll look at the mystery of Christ and the church. I mentioned to you earlier on this morning as we were giving an intro, there are at least five, and probably, I know there are more, but God's wisdom is a mystery. I'll enumerate them for you in case you're taking notes, or if you're listening, someone's listening to this on tape or whatever, on the website. God's wisdom is a mystery. We looked at that briefly. The church, as the body of Christ, is a mystery, and it's revealed. And the resurrection of those who have died in Christ is a mystery. Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be raised again. And that day is coming soon when we will hear the shout, as we just sung in a hymn, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that is a mystery. But God has revealed that truth to us. And then there's the gospel, which is how you and I came to know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. The gospel is a mystery. And then, of course, this morning we were looking in John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And so the birth of Christ is a mystery. Emmanuel, God in the flesh. So those are just a few of the mysteries in God's Word. So let's see, where do we find ourselves now? Ephesians chapter 2, or did I say chapter 2? I meant to say 3. Did I say 3? 3, good. Then I'm on the same page that you are. Good. And we're going to read the chapter together, and we're going to look at the mystery, as Paul writes, that was hidden from past generations, but has now been revealed. And we read about this, by the way, in chapter 3 here of Ephesians, and we're also going to look at a parallel passage in the book of Colossians, so just keep that in mind. We'll look at those verses together. And once again, it's a mystery is a hidden truth. Now, God has revealed this mystery, which was hid from generations past. Paul writes then in Ephesians chapter 3, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me," I'm waiting, "the mystery," thank you, I want to make sure you're there, "as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, to be specific, that the Gentiles," who would that be, brothers and sisters? Thank you. "Are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which Paul writes, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power." You notice the way Paul writes? I'll just stop for a second. I love the way he writes, because he always directs the reader of his epistles to who? The Lord Jesus. Amen. He continues in verse 8 then. "To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles," you and I, brothers and sisters, "the unfathomable riches of Christ." I love that. That's the treasure of all treasures, isn't it? The unfathomable riches of Christ. Wow. "And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery," thank you, brother, "which for ages had been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God," oh, didn't we just read about that? Yeah. "Might now be made known through the church." Who is the church? Us. "To the rulers and authorities in heavenly places." Verse 9 and 10 are very important. We'll come back in just a minute. "This was," Paul continues, "this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him." 13. "Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ." We want to talk about the deeper things of God. That's where we're at, folks. That's right here, right now, in this verse. And that, Paul says, in my version of the Bible, surpasses knowledge. So it's the Holy Spirit alone that's going to show us these deeper things. It's the Holy Spirit working in our life. The knowledge of Christ. And that has to be experienced not just through the reading of God's Word, but experientially in our lives, the knowledge of Christ. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him, Paul is closing this chapter, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus in all generations forever and ever. Amen. The knowledge of Christ has to be a reality in your life and in my life. And so the question I ask myself, and I'll ask you this morning too, are we entering into the unfathomable riches in Christ? Treasure of all treasures, right? Verse number 8, unfathomable riches of Christ. We can't imagine what it's like. I thought, what spiritual wealth there is there for the believer. And yet I thought in my own life, and you can examine your life before the Lord, I'm not doing that, but I'm just being transparent, that I thought that we have this unfathomable treasure, and yet at times we live as spiritual paupers. A pauper is a person who has no means of support, who is destitute. And we have these unfathomable riches in Christ, and oftentimes we live as paupers before the Lord. And now this mystery of the church as the body of Christ has been revealed to us. And you know, I think of the words of Isaiah. I was looking this verse up just the other day, and Isaiah, we read these words. He says, I proclaim to you, God says, I proclaim to you new things, even hidden things which you have not known. And isn't it true, just as a practical thing, when we open the Word of God and we're reading a particular passage, and then some time goes by, and the Holy Spirit brings that passage back to us again, and what happens? What happens? Doesn't the Holy Spirit then reveal something new to you from that same passage? And you thought, wow, I've read that passage so many times, and yet we'll see the hidden things of God are now being revealed. And you saw something before, but now you see something even sweeter and more wonderful, and you could say, well, they're unfathomable riches. I can never exhaust what's in God's Word about the person of God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these hidden things become revealed to you and as you read, and the mysteries of the Word of God come alive to you. Let's go back to Indiana Jones, if you'll bear with me. Let's say that, using him as an example, that he gets out all his maps and his clues, and it brings him to this city of gold, let's call it, okay? So he looks down into this cave, and in this cave he sees there's torches lit. He lights these torches, and he sees, I'm a jeweler, so I think in terms of this, you know, visual person too. So he sees all these gold chalices and gold chains and all kinds of things. And he looks over this, and I'm just doing this as an illustration, and say it's worth gazillions of dollars. Who knows how much it's worth, okay? And it's a historic find too, because there's maybe things in here that would, in antiquity, would be very historic. And he would just stand there, and I'm just being funny here, but I want you to get the point. He would stand there and say, well, that's nice. And turn around after spending all this time to get there and say, that's nice, and turn around and go back to his classroom, not bringing anything back with him at all of antiquity, not bringing any of the archaeological finds that would have been so important to museums and to the history or whatever. And again, this is just a visual for you. And he would just say, well, that's nice, and turn around and go back home and go back to the classroom and not share any of that with any of his college students. That's kind of foolish, huh? But you see what I'm getting at? That we have unfathomable riches in Christ, and at times, maybe it's true, at times, as believers, we live as spiritual paupers. We don't dive into the deeper things of God. But then when we do, the Holy Spirit reveals these mysteries to us, and they're so wonderful. And we get a fresh glimpse of the heart of God. And it makes us do what? Well, what did it make Daniel do? Well, it made Daniel be a bright light to those who were seeing him. It made Daniel be a man of praise, because from his lips he praised God, and then he brought glory to God. And then others who were non-believers said, this must be God. This must be the God of all gods, because he revealed this to me. And so it is with us too. In Ephesians, in this chapter 3, in these verses 8 to 10, if you were to underline them in your Bible, you could put a little footnote that God has revealed this mystery to you now. And what is this mystery? It's the unfathomable riches of Christ. And the question I ask my heart, and the question I am challenging you with today is, what are we doing with the riches? Are we like the story illustration of Indiana Jones or some archaeologist coming upon that tremendous find and saying, well, that's nice, and turning around and go home? Or are we looking and saying, look what I found in God's Word. Look what the Holy Spirit has revealed to my life about Christ. This is so wonderful. I must share it. It must change my life. It has to change my life, because the Word of God does that. So it's only changed but through the Holy Spirit. It's not changed by us, by our intelligence. The knowledge of Christ has to be, yes, a reality experientially in our lives for us to understand the unfathomable riches of Christ. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God's been made known through the church. Isn't that what verse 10 says? Look at verse 10 again. Ephesians 3 and 10 says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the... I can't hear you. Through the church. It's being made known through you and I. What an awesome responsibility. The wisdom of God being made known by you and I, brothers and sisters, because we are the church. And Christ saved us, redeemed us, not just to take us home, where we'll someday be, but with a purpose. And notice the extent of this in verse number 10. Go back there, please. We're in Ephesians 3:10. And Paul writes, so the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. Who? To who? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Wow. So we're not only a witness, brothers and sisters, of the mystery of God revealed in our lives, in the lives of people we contact day to day, but it would appear to me from verse number 10 that we have an effect upon, if our lives are lived for Christ, to authorities or principalities in heavenly places, in the heavenlies. If the word places in your Bible is in italics, it probably was added there for meaning, but if we were just to take it out, it would say in the heaven, in the heavens, in the heavenly. What an awesome thing that is. As the Holy Spirit empowers us, look at verse 16, strengthened through his Holy Spirit in the inner man, then we're able to understand the wisdom of God, understand these mysteries, and then as the church live them out, the unfathomable riches of Christ. Look over at chapter number 4, please, the first couple verses, because this is the mystery of the unity of the body of Christ, the walk and service of the believer. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 through 3, to be constantly renewed in our mind means that our walk must first be right. I'm working with a young brother in the Cheshire Assembly, and I asked him to start praying as he prays in his morning devotion time, to start in Psalm number 1. So every day I get a little text from dear brother Mike, who has encouraged me that he's striving to pray Psalm number 1 in his heart to the Lord. Right? So Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, Paul says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. That's our walk, right? And do so with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. That's the presence and the power of God. And then look down in the same chapter at verse number 23. Actually, for connection, look at verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, that's Christ, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, being created in righteousness and holiness, and therefore laying aside falsehood, and so on. Paul continues to exhort them. So it's a renewing of our minds. It isn't until our minds can be renewed that we can see the unfathomable riches of Christ. What does Satan want to do? He wants to disturb and distract our minds. And he does a good job with me, I'll tell you right now. I don't know about you, but I'm easily distracted. Even in my morning reading, sometimes I find myself reading my devotion. I have to read it twice because other thoughts are coming in my mind and I don't want to allow them in, the thoughts of the day or whatever it might be. And I sometimes find myself reading my Daily Bread, Days of Praise, Choice Gleaning, and my Bible reading, and I get halfway through my section of devotion and I find I have to retrace my steps to read it again, because through that time, in my mind, Satan has brought different thoughts in. Well, you got to do this today, and you got to do that today, and you got to go here today, and you got to do this other thing today. And that's the way my mind thinks. So we're easily distracted. Paul says your mind needs to be renewed in the Word. And then when you do that, what happens? Well, I want to give you my, if you could call it, I guess you could call it my life verse. And that's in Colossians. It's the last verse I'll read to you because the clock is telling me it's time to sit down in a minute. But I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to look at one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Although there's many of them, I would say this is like my life verse. Colossians 3 and verse 16. In renewing our mind, allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal the hidden truths of God, the mysteries of God, the mystery of the church, the deeper things of God, so that as a result of all that, we are people of light, we are people of praise, and we are people that bring glory to God. Colossians 3:16 reads this way, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. How should we sing? With thankfulness, giving thanks. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I thought, and I'll give you this closing thought before I sit down and close in prayer, if the Word of God is dwelling within me truly, then like what happened the other night, that I couldn't sleep because I had anxious thoughts, then my anxious thoughts will have no place to grow. If the Word of Christ is dwelling within me truly, those anxious thoughts will have no room to grow. And if I'm singing, because it says here, making melody in your heart with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I was up here earlier before the meeting started, and the young people were practicing their hymns, and I just love that. I just praise the Lord for what we see here, new life being infused in this assembly. Praise the Lord, and the Lord bless you for doing that. But if I'm singing his praises, the thought came to me as I was studying this message and looking over my favorite verse there in Colossians 3:16. If I'm truly singing, and not just with my lips but with my heart, if I'm truly singing, then I can't be sighing. Sometimes my wife will tell you, I sigh. You know, sometimes we sigh. But you know, if we're really singing and our song is really for the Lord, and it's really coming from our heart, well, we can't be singing his praises and sighing at the same time. So the mystery is revealed. The treasure is in Christ, but the choice is yours and mine. And just like you wouldn't see Indiana Jones in any of his adventures going there, finding that lost treasure or whatever it is he found, and turning around and saying, well, that's nice, and going home without any trinket or anything at all to show, so it is with us. God enables us through his Holy Spirit to see the deeper things of God. We must enjoy them. We must enjoy the riches that are found in him. And then we must live in a way like Daniel lived, that not only will we enjoy them, but others in the world who are not saved will see something in us. That person, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl has something that they're praising God about, that they're just radiant about, that they're all excited about, and I want to know about it. And then it brings glory to God. And that's really why we're here. Are we not? We're here to be bright lights in a dark world. We're living in a very, very dark world. Our brother was saying downstairs, probably in the darkest times that we have experienced in this generation, we are to be lights. So how's it going? How are we doing now that the mystery has been revealed to us? The mystery of God, the mystery of the church. And there's so many other things that in God's Word are waiting for us to not only explore and to capture, but to take home in our hearts and then to show others the unfathomable riches of Christ, so that we would bring glory to him in our life. May it be so in my life. May you be encouraged in your life too. Let's pray. Our Father, we've come to the conclusion of our time together sharing in your word, and we're thankful for it. We're thankful for the challenges that your Holy Spirit brings to our minds and our hearts concerning who you are. And we thank you for revealing the truths of God to us, and things that were hidden in ages past that you have revealed to us in your word. Thank you, Father, that we can glimpse at the mystery of you, our God, and know a little bit more of who you are and the deeper things of you. Thank you for the mystery of the church, that we as Gentiles have been called to be given the gospel, and then called to be accept the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and then called to be the children of thee, our God. And thank you for the mystery of the resurrection, that one day those of us that are not here to see the Lord's return will be raised first, and then those that are alive and remain shall rise up together in the air. We shall, as one body, meet the Lord and forever be with you and your Son for all eternity. And so for that truth and measure of understanding that we have of who you are, we praise you, we thank you, and we pray that you would help us and empower us to live a life like Daniel lived, and one that pleases you, praises you, and exalts your name. And Father, in this life, that we would be lights, we pray. Help us to do that. We can't do it on our own, dear Heavenly Father. We need the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we do ask these things in the name that is above every name, the name of Christ. Amen.